Coming up on the 17th and 18th at Seven Feathers Casino in the Elements Lounge. She is a whole lot of exciting. She is probably somebody you recognize from The Voice. She's been doing a whole lot more since then. Super real, super talented. Give it up for Miss Jackie Rohr, everybody. Good morning, Jackie.
Good morning. Good morning.
Oh, thank you so much for joining the show. We appreciate you.
Oh, I appreciate you back. Sorry, I have a cold right now, you guys.
That's all right. So you've been kind of out and about. Tell us how this kind of all began for you. And first off, you're from the Pacific Northwest, aren't you?
I am. I am actually from a town called North Plains in Oregon.
Okay.
It's close to Hillsboro.
That we love you a little bit more because of that.
Yeah. Yes. Oregon love.
Hometown girl. I've been singing since I came out of the womb. I mean, I came out like Janis Joplin, but I was just like, wee!
I didn't start seriously expanding
myself in music till about 8 years ago. I started a band called Lace and Thorn. And then from there, I decided that I wanted to go solo because I wanted to do more harder rock country than like more of a, I guess it was more like a Fleetwood Mac feel where it was laid back, and I wanted something more rock out with your hands up and your hair shaking, you know. So,
well, a lot of people compare you to Gretchen Wilson.
Yes, I get Gretchen Wilson, I get Stevie Nicks, I get Carrie Underwood. I'm just very blessed to have people that think that way about me.
You came out of the womb singing. Was your parents, were they big influencers on the singing part, or is that just something you just took up yourself?
Well, I think that music does run in my family, or at least I was told that. I only met my biological father once, and he is definitely where I got my voice from. He sounds a lot like Chad Kroeger, actually, when he sings.
Oh, wow. Yes.
Okay. Yeah, he has like a really killer rock voice, and he also has a cool, like, I don't know, like Frankie Valli. He could even do that, like falsetto stuff.
Oh,
so,
wow.
Yeah, so I think I really got my my voice from him, but I got my musicianship from the rest of my family. I mean, my brother, he can play anything by ear, piano, guitar, bass, drums. He's very talented as well. So
you were on The Voice, and Reba was your coach. Do you still stay in contact with Reba? Does she give you any advice on the side, which would always be nice?
Yes, we do still talk. In fact, we were just talking because I'm going to be going to the TJ Martell Foundation, and she usually goes. So I was trying to figure out if she's going and if she's going to be sitting at our table or not. So
how cool is that?
Friend to have.
I was just chatting with Reba the other day, and, you know, we're probably going to sit at the same table, you know.
Well, I'm hoping. She's like, I'm going to try to make it. I don't know if I can, but I'm going to try. So, you know, she's such a lovely, like an angel on earth, really, honestly. She just has that motherly love, and she just wants, you know, people that are in the music industry and struggling like I am. I'm in the midpoint, which is probably the worst. You know, you could be starting out, mm-hmm. and it's better than being in the midpoint because you can almost taste it, you know? So it's really trying to help me stay grounded and keep my head above water because, you know, it can get depressing sometimes to just taste it. Like today, I found out I'm charting number 3 in the UK for radio for my new song, Giddy Up.
Wow.
Congratulations.
Yeah, I'm so excited.
Well, we added it to our playlist, so we are playing the heck out of Giddy Up. We absolutely love it. And, you know, Dorote, a.k.a. Steven, that you're talking about, he's the one who's like, oh, boy, what about this one? And I'm like, oh, yeah. You really bring it to the next level. And since the Voice, so what is your definition of success? You're talking about being in the middle right now. What has changed for you as an artist once you did the show? I mean, something different that maybe you didn't realize before the show?
Yeah, I've actually learned a lot of lessons since the show. I mean, first of all, not everybody does what they say they're going to do, which is a really hard thing for me because when I promise something or when I say I'm going to do something, I always follow up and do it. And there's a lot of people in this industry that will say, oh, yeah, and then they completely forget about you. Mm. You know, they're just like, you know, they have so many other things to do. So of course they're going to forget about you. I don't think it's anything personal, but there's a lot of people that won't follow through. And there's a lot of people who say they can do for you what they can't do for you. You know, I had a manager for a short time and he couldn't do things for me. I had an agency for a short time and they couldn't do things for me. So the one thing that I've really learned as an artist is you work the best for yourself because you're the one person that believes in you. And I am booking myself. I am managing myself. And I'm doing better than I ever have in my music career. I have gigs up the butt. And I have, I would say that the pay grade is way better now than it was before the exposure. And my music is way better now because I have those connections and I have people in my corner. Actually, yesterday signed a contract for one of my other songs, Till the Gas Runs Out, is going to be in a movie. So I'm really excited. Oh, things are working.
Nice. All right. So you're doing all this stuff behind the scenes, and is it something that was natural for you, or did you actually have to learn this? Because for me, if I had to manage my own career, the heck with it. I wouldn't be one of those managers that people would go, that's the guy.
I think naturally I've always been a go-getter. I've always been a hustler. I mean, even since I was like 13, I used to knock on people's doors and ask them if I could wash their car or mow their lawn or weed their weeds so I could have money in my pocket to do whatever I wanted to do. And my work ethic is extremely strong. My father was my stepfather. He was a Navy man. So, you know, he instilled in me a lot of chores, you know, iron shirts, vacuum your carpet and make sure there's diagonal markings, you know, like really, really OCD stuff that I think helped me later in life kind of organize the things that I need to do. And I would say the hardest part of everything is the social media part, because the social media comes first, then everything else follows. So if I'm not doing well on my socials, I don't do well in my bookings. If I am exploding, if something goes viral, I'm booking left and right. So it's a hard thing to learn, but you got to make time for everything and you got to schedule out what you're doing for yourself every week and still make time for your friends and family.
So you're still on the road. How many weeks a year are you basically on the road now?
Well, this year so far I've booked 30 shows and I'm supposed to book at least 50 more. So we'll see what happens. That'll beat my record for last year. And last year, again, I booked everything myself. So I think the agency I was with booked two of the shows that I have on my schedule. And that's about it. So I've been doing this all by myself.
That's a lot of behind the scenes work. That is a lot of work.
Yeah.
Not just the bookings, but your social media. So my hat's off to you. That's amazing.
And then you got obviously the time where you've got you're practicing, you're playing with the band.
Right.
You're doing all that stuff. So you're putting in quite a few hours.
Yeah. You know, so, I mean, people don't realize it, but, you know, as an independent artist, I think we choose the most abusive work task because you barely get any reward for it, comparatively speaking, to the work you have to put in. You have to be your own manager, you have to be your own promoter. I create my own art, you know, I have to commission artists to get my album covers. I'm always doing notes on my music. I have to go write music. I have to, you know, there's so much behind the scenes that people don't realize when you are an artist. So when I say I appreciate every like, every share, every comment, I really mean it, because those things help me so much gain more opportunities, you know?
Yeah, and we're so excited to have you. Matter of fact, every Tuesday we do a Ticket to Ride Tuesday. And usually we call it Ticket to Ride Tuesday because we living here in Roseburg, every time we need to go to a show, we always have to get in the car and drive. Right, so we got to go to Portland, or we had to go to over the river to Cascade Amphitheater, something like that. So it's very excited for us to only do 10 minutes, 15 minutes, 20 minutes up the hill to see you. And everybody's excited for the show, and so are we. So my question to you is, if you were stuck on a tour bus for 24 hours with an artist that you never met, who would you like to meet, and how do you think that would all go?
Okay, well, I actually have two artists that I'd really love to meet. And number one is my idol, Stevie Nicks. I love her. I think she has an incredible life and an incredible brain full of knowledge. She has navigated herself through this industry with relationships, without relationships, with people messing her over, and I'd just love to pick her brain and sing with her a little bit. Even write a song, maybe. Ah. And then the other person is going to probably blow you away, but I would really love to meet Maynard from Tool, because I absolutely love his voice, and I know he's a really weird character, so I think we'd get along just fine. I'm a country metalhead. I love me some country because of all the storytelling and just, like, that home, like, comforting feeling of country. But I also really love to hurt the crap out of my neck headbanging. So.
Well, we're looking forward to it. Everything that we see on your social media page, your energy is just high level and good for you. So excited Thank for you so to be much. Out here, and we can't wait to see you, and can't wait to hang with you.
I can't wait either. I'm going to give you guys a big old hug, especially now that my cold is on the mend. So I'm going to give you a big old hug.
And by the way, since, you know, your best friend's Reba, I'm sure she could probably pull some strings with this whole Stevie Nicks thing. I'm just saying. Right. Just throwing it out there.
You know. I will ask her. I don't want to ask her for too many favors. I don't want to be that friend that's, you know, until I have something I can give to her, I don't want to ask her for favors, you know?
No, so. I agree with you there, but just to keep that in your back pocket, because that might
I will. I absolutely will.
Miss Jackie Rohr, everybody, April 17th and 18th out at Seven Feathers, going to be at Elements Lounge. Oh, you're a doll. Thank you so much for spending your time with us this morning, Jackie. Appreciate you.
Thank you for having me, you guys. I appreciate you.
All right. Have a fantastic day. We'll talk to you soon.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye now.